Everybody, welcome back to A Squad this week. This week we're definitely going to be going over Gamescom. With me right now is Giant Shock.
Da 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 da.
And Mr. Max Barracuda.
What's up?
I'm your host, Rise Like Phoenix, but you should already know that.
They don't.
Anyway, we got a lot to talk about right now, so I'm going to launch right into what we're playing this week.
What are you playing at? Tombstone, Nintendo.
I'll kick it off, man. I'm excited about what I'm playing. I'm playing Saints Row 4, and it is a blast.
How banana wacky is it?
It's fucking crazy.
It looks absolutely insane.
You know what it is? I'll throw it out there for everybody who's played a Saints Row game. Don't expect a Saints Row game.
It's way crazier than that?
I heard it's more like a Crackdown.
It's what Crackdown 2 should have been, right. Is what it is. Right away, you become the President of the United States, and aliens come down, attack, and throw everybody in this Matrix-like world. Like, you're taken over, and you're thrown in an Animus, or whatever the hell you want to call it. And one of the Saints escaped, your hacker, lucky for you, so she can launch into your world there and give you superpowers. So maybe 10% of the game, you're full on running like the Flash, jumping over 3-story buildings. That's the whole game now. It's like the open world superhero game that I always wanted because I can still kick the hell out of people. I mean, you got super strength. It's still wacky as far as the weapons and
still
the storyline.
Open world and everything.
Uh-huh.
Sandbox.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm super into it. I'll say this real quick. When I first started playing it, though, I didn't like the superpowers because I was like, this isn't regular Saints Row.
It's Saints Row,
damn it,
though, man.
Well, you know, it does circumvent the cars when I can run 10 times faster.
Being the president, do you get any special abilities?
Do you get this pimpin' suit?
I'm saying, do you get to order people around?
Military strikes or anything cool like that?
No, you can call the Saints just the same as...
you have the Marines, but let's call the Saints.
Yeah, the Saints totally blow the Marines.
We got the Green
Berets,
sir.
Yeah.
No.
Fuck SEAL Team 6. We got little Tito on the corner.
No, I gotta roll with the homies, okay? Keep it true.
President in a purple suit.
I call him sometimes just to chill. But I call him away for any kind of danger. That's the kind of president I roll with. I do my shit on my trench shit on my lonely.
Get off my plane.
The thing that I thought was cool is that I logged into the hub, the Saints Row hub, and I got to download my old character without having to sit with character creation. The thing that I didn't think was cool was that since they didn't have the clothing options in 2 to 3, I had to play the first cutscenes of the game, like go up and do the presidential speech and everything, booty ass naked. So they were like, oh yeah, you can download it. And I was like, oh cool. And I press enter and they're like, but we don't have the clothes. Here's your cutscene.
My Saints Row character would look ridiculous, too, as president, because I just made mine the full-on Joker.
Oh, mine's got makeup, and I usually... clown makeup. And I usually wear women's clothing so that people say
very
something
telling
to me on
very
the
Dr. Frankenfooter women's clothing, or just like a dress?
A long dress and a wife beater.
Like a ball gown?
No.
As I'm picturing it, it would be funnier if it was like Dr. Frankenfooter.
Yeah.
I roll around, and that's the only way I can get pedestrians to say something about me. And that's when...
It's just wearing women's clothes?
Yeah, that's when there's a fist in their face.
Hey, whatever works.
Yeah, anyway, it's a lot of fun. I mean, those who wanted an old Saints Row game, you guys got to remember, I love the first three. And if the fourth one would have went the same exact way the other ones were, I guarantee you it would have lost a lot of luster.
I like the fact that they changed it around. They didn't just make it a carbon copy with a couple more little bells and whistles as the other ones.
Eventually, they got to go in a different route. Like, even though, like, I know this is blasphemy, but the new Super Mario games aren't doing it for me anymore, fellas. Like,
yeah.
I don't care if he's got a little twirly hat or whatever. It doesn't matter. I mean, I played it. I played 30 Marios before that. Step it up, which they're doing, and we'll get to that in the news. Giant, what are you playing this week?
Well, like Pete last week, I went through the 400 days, and
the Walking Dead game.
Yep, Walking Dead 400 days. I got at the end three of the five came with my with I guess with the blackjack. I think your name is
I forget her name. You did better than I. Got two of them.
But I played it specifically because I took all the good routes. But I think I'm not positive. Now you can email us, correct us if I'm wrong. But I think you get the people to come with you at the end by what you say to them as that black check.
I don't think that's exclusively right, because why play the stories then?
No, because how you react to what she says is based upon what...
I also think it has to be based on what decisions you made when you were playing their storyline.
All right. Otherwise, I watched a show. I didn't play the game. I played the first round and then whatever. It kind of got lost
in the crack. Well, this is like the last chapter. It doesn't pertain to the main story.
I know a couple people who have played the game, and people are saying that at the end of it, they like just like stared at their TV and like had to digest the ending.
To the original... All right, you got your five chapters. Those are your main story arc, and that ending is fucking heartbreaking and hard to watch. This is like a bonus chapter that they released where you play five different characters.
Okay.
Each with their own little quick story.
Picture it as Walking Dead video game Pulp Fiction. A little bit, all intertwine with each other in some little minute way.
If you pay attention.
If you pay attention to it.
All right.
And every character that you get to play as, these five different characters, have their own really kind of cool little arc, quick little arc. And I actually like those five characters more than I liked several of the characters that were in the five.
Well, you got a little taste, and when you get a little taste, it's more inviting than that.
I realistically, the one that was in the jail bus, right?
That was a cool one.
I wanted to go on as that guy. Vince, I think his name was.
Yeah, he was awesome.
Yeah, I definitely wanted to
the
see
shit what you have to do in that plot is nuts.
One of the best things they made you do was they made you choose between the two guys you were talking to. You have to shoot one of their legs off to get out of the chains.
One's like a blue collar crook or rapist.
He says he's innocent, but he's a potential rapist.
Yeah.
And then the other guy is a Wall Street guy who
the blue collar dude.
Which one did you take, by the way?
I took the blue collar dude.
Me too. And then when you get to the campfire, they're like, "Yeah, luckily you." The little girl came along after that guy died because he ended up being a rapist.
Oh, so, he was really.
Yeah, so legit. Like at the end, okay. you everyone's like story gets kind of like capped with their what they were talking about around the campfire, and I thought it was, again, even though it was like a little just add on to the to the world of the Walking Dead video game, I thought it was fantastic. It was definitely worth the $1,200, $1,600, whatever I paid for it.
It was pretty cheap.
Cool. All right.
Oh, wait, I also want to say I'm also. It's coming out tomorrow, but I'm foaming at the mouth of the new Ninja Turtles.
Out of the Shadows.
Yeah.
It looks fantastic.
I think that's going to be a group what we're playing now.
I'm picking it up
week.
Tomorrow for sure.
Oh, I'm definitely getting it.
We should just play.
Yeah. You know what? The only thing I'm kind of bummed at is that, like, I
had Shoddy Raphael.
Shoddy Donatello.
Mikey, come on now. What was it? The
All right.
That worked out nicely.
the only thing I'm kind of bummed
Radical.
At, cowabunga. I'm kind of bummed out is that I always have a house with a bunch of controllers and everything like that, big TV, and locally you can only play two, but online you can play four.
So what?
That's the only bummer thing I have. I do have a two Xbox set up at my house, though, with another TV right next to it.
Right. Did they say if I can, is it split screen? Is that what's going on, or is everybody on the
same?
See,
I don't know about the gameplay yet, because I just seen the trailer to it, and the trailer
I just
is
saw the
all
trailer.
Action.
Right,
it's not,
and it's only the one dude.
Yeah,
no, they don't show the multiplayer.
Well, they've
that
seen
much.
Some. Like, I can't wait. Like, let's say it's not that hard. You saw where the one guy, like one foot soldier in the middle, got the four shells. He got blasted with. Remember in the movie where they all like turned around and smashed a dude with their shells?
Yeah.
You could do that in the video game. Like,
do the shell shock.
And then all four turtles fight differently. Like Raphael, he's pile driving people, rock bottom them.
Yeah, he's a wrestling style.
And Leonardo, he's very, very ninja-esque. Like, he's creepy. Like, not creepy, but like he's creeping on people, throwing them. Like, he's hard to hit.
Donatello's like what I like to call European hockey.
I was very
like
impressed.
Very, very touch and go. You know?
No, Donatello. You saw.
I was very impressed with the footage that I saw. Donatello. They did some cool stuff with that bow staff. He's whipping it around his head. He's like holding it like a pole,
like
and
in the
running
Matrix?
Around all the guys, like in the second Matrix movie.
Yeah.
Like
totally
he's doing some
one.
Really cool stuff.
And Mikey, he's kind of like I'm not gonna say exactly, but he's kind of Capoeira-ish, where he's doing mad flips. He's putting his nunchucks in his
fight.
Feet and doing spins and stuff.
Yeah, totally dance fight. And it's a weird character design too, which I thought was cool.
They're more, it's more gritty.
They went more turtley.
Yeah,
they look like actual turtles.
Yeah, they're much less cartoony.
I have a feeling that's the direction the new movie is going to be going in.
Which good. I'm fine. At first I was pissed off Michael Bay and everything, but I'm not gonna get too much into the movie. But the video game itself, it looks like they usually when you pick to play the turtle game, like Donatello, it's a fact that was one of the best characters because he had the longest weapon.
That's why I shot at him.
I think every turtle has its own style and they all have their pluses and minuses. Like Raph's powerhouse, Leonardo's all around. Mikey's probably just like he's doing flippies. Like he probably take a lot of guys on at once. And Donatello, he's
an old true blue. Donatello's probably gonna get the most work done.
Oh, dude, yeah, he's always.
I don't know
awesome.
About that. Be whipping that stick around.
Well, you gotta remember,
pile driving.
You gotta
the
remember
guy.
Also that I'm gonna be Donatello. So trust me on that, brother. Anyway, what are you playing,
not
Mac?
Not convinced. I took a break this week from console gaming and actually picked up a PC game for the first time ever off of Steam.
First time ever? No.
Well, first time in a long time.
Okay. Because I know for a fact many PC games that you've played.
Yeah, but I tend in recent years to stick with consoles. So I picked up this game Gone Home off of Steam. It's came really recommended to me, like something that people thought would be up my alley. Picked it up. It's fun. It's cool.
Are you going to let me know what the game is?
It's called Gone Home.
Oh, I was just going to ask you, was the name
Gone Home?
Oh, I thought you meant you went home and played it.
Game follows you're a young girl in like the 90s who literally goes home after like a year abroad, and your whole family's missing. And the whole point of the game is to explore your house, find clues to figure out where everyone is. It plays like a real survival horror game where you're...
How big is your house?
Big enough.
Monstrous.
I beat this game pretty quick. It ran me like $10.
I have a 2-bedroom condo. Like I would just look around and be like, nope.
No,
they're all tied up in the basement.
This is pretty much an exaggerated house.
Okay.
You know, and you're finding clues and I won't spoil the ending. It plays like survival horror. It's raining outside. It's kind of scary. And
you walk down your basement and you just see Marcel Wallace getting raped by a fucking Zed.
Yeah. Just like, whoa. I'm going to go get me a samurai sword.
Where the hell did... Oh, Pulp Fiction.
Yeah. It actually ends up being a very different ending than what you expect it to be. And I love this game. I thought it was great.
Okay.
Cool. I don't want to ruin...
Is this like a pickup at the store game? Or you...
No, this Steam. Is online. You get Steam. Off Steam.
Yeah.
Nice. Cheap. Affordable, and I just went and looked at the reviews. This is one of those like top tier.
And how powerful does your computer need to be to mess with it?
I played it on my laptop, which is a couple of years old.
All right,
so it was able to handle
my
it.
My big problem with the
PC I got the same thing.
You need to do sound cards, right. Flash players.
This is not a massive game. This isn't World of Warcraft. This isn't.
I think we all remember
big MMO thing
when Crysis 1 came out, and there wasn't any computers that
could handle it. Yeah. No, this one is a single-player exploration game, and it's very satisfying by the ending. So I recommend it highly.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Cool.
Well, let's start talking about games that are coming out. Let's hit the news up.
News team, assemble!
Good news, everyone.
Bad news, everyone.
Oh, have you not heard? It was my understanding that everyone had heard.
Anyway, Gamescom, man. Gamescom was this week. It's
in Germany.
Yeah, in Germany.
That was a German accent?
I want a polka.
What the fuck was that?
That was unaudible.
Anyway.
That was almost as bad as Brian's German accent.
No way, dude. That was Vince Vaughn. Show some respect.
I just went, it's Germany.
Anyway.
I didn't know they rolled their R's like that.
Big news, Gamescom, which is traditionally a convention that celebrates the games,
Germany.
Yeah, but it was really the first convention that Xbox One and PS4 were playable to the public, so they kind of took center stage.
Actually, I saw the preview to one of the games I'm really looking forward to, and this is going to be the first game I buy on Xbox One is Rise, Son of Rome.
Yeah,
that looks
I got
really
that.
Cool.
I got that. I actually got a list of Xbox exclusives and PS exclusives, and I wanted to compare them and see if anything's going to help out.
Sounds good.
To buy the system. I also wanted to mention a game that's not exclusive to either of them. Call of Duty is getting a new mode, which I was pretty happy about. It's called Blitz Mode. It's like Capture the Flag, but you just have to run and touch it. And you score, and then you're back at your base.
That's awesome for me.
Right. Oh, dude, that's money. That's money for me, too. You know?
This is a thing I will never touch.
Bro, I'm going to be the champion in that mode. I'm fantastic at that.
I could not care less about that.
I actually was excited to hear that they're throwing a new mode on there.
I've been done with
especially that one, because you know me. I'm just going to throw down all my guns, run with my little knife there, and handle my business. Anyway, I also have the Wii U exclusives, but... we all know what they're gonna be. That's why I didn't
Smash Brothers?
No, but everybody knows. Oh, big surprise. They're coming out with a Link this year. They're coming out with Wind Waker. They're coming out with, you know.
In other words, they're recycling Donkey all those Kong. Games that you played back when you owned a GameCube.
Why does they should like maybe like outsource some like the Mario Golf, Mario Tennis. Like, why is Mario the only world that gets to play games? Like, what about Link or Samus? Why don't they get to play like tennis or
why is Link not in?
Mega Man had a soccer game once.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That probably was awesome.
That's why he's got the soccer ball in Capcom versus
Marvel Capcom.
Yeah.
I was completely dumbfounded why that was.
Yeah.
Anyway, the only other thing with Wii U, and this is the last I'm going to mention Wii U, because it's dead to me. I mean, not the last on the show, but just for the Gamescom big review. Sonic Lost World, the new Sonic game, is going to be
Sonic
exclusively
Sonic games
Wii.
Have not been good in decades.
People are promising this one's going to be okay.
They promise that with every one, and then next thing you know, you're Sonic turning into a were-hedgehog, and it's stupid.
Yeah, I've never heard them promise that it's going to suck.
Well, you know, when they steal the title of Jurassic Park 2, it's not going to be that great.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, was there Sonic Lost? Oh, yeah, Lost World. That's Lost the one I'm World. Looking at right now.
Yeah, this one doesn't star Sonic. It is Jeff Goldblum looking for his black daughter.
That's a big pile of shit.
Anyway, the PS came out, and the exclusive games we're looking at. Gran Turismo.
That's exclusive to PS?
Yeah. Xbox got Forza.
Racing games. Looks gorgeous.
They always look gorgeous.
The racing games always look stunning.
Like I said, they're not my cup of tea.
Not mine either, but you got to give it up to those graphics.
Mm-hmm. And something was happening. I wasn't really following what was going on, but real car manufacturers are going to be putting their prototype cars on Gran Turismo, which is kind of cool. It's nice, but... I wasn't really following it because Gran Turismo is not my bag, baby.
As I'm not a car guy.
If you're, if you're one of the car makers, it'd be a perfect place to just see gauge people's reactions to the style.
Yeah, it's good all absolutely. Around. Also, Forza is not getting that, so you know, it's a little
my gearhead plug. Friend, Lippy, he swears by Forza. He said that's the more realistic racing game.
Okay.
So maybe Gran Turismo is more like flashy, like you're saying, like all the throwing up prototypes of different cars and stuff like that.
Well, the last racing game I really was into, I think, was the Underground games, the Need for Speed Underground.
Mario Kart.
Okay.
Mario Kart.
Maybe F-Zero.
That's all I need. I need a little
anyway,
scooty
we're
cart.
Not shooting shells out.
On to other ones that look good. Infamous, Second Son.
Is that exclusive to the PS?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the Infamous series good. Has been... Historically, I haven't played these, so I don't know.
You haven't played them?
No.
Oh, you know what? I thought I was on Xbox, but I got a free Infamous 1 download on PlayStation when they got hacked by.
Yeah, everyone did.
Yeah, but Xbox and PlayStation released a very similar game at the same time. It was Infamous for PlayStation and Prototype for Xbox?
Prototype for
Infamous clearly has had
the
more.
I think Prototype was on both.
Infamous is
no,
more
the
like...
Prototype was an Xbox exclusive.
We'll have to look
that up. Because they were similar and it came out at the same
Infamous
time.
Infamous is one where you're like skating around on electricity, right?
Yeah.
Infamous is a game where you're Cole and you wake up and you don't remember anything, but everyone remembers you. And you wake up in this crater and you have superpowers for some reason. And the city's pretty much going to shit. And you can either be good or bad. And,
it's always easy to be bad.
It is, but the story's always better when you're good. You know, they always like give you... The real deal ending when you're good. Anyway, Infamous Second Son. If I had to choose between Xbox and PS, that's probably the game that I would miss the most for PS. That's the one that I would be looking over the corner just like with watery eyes.
Well, the three games that you've mentioned so far, I'm not even really looking forward.
Yeah,
I'm
not into any of these.
The new Killzone.
Killzone is a game that they keep trying to force down our throats. That like, no, Killzone's awesome, and nobody plays it.
It's good, man. I play it.
I'm not going to disrespect
it. People play it.
I'm not going to disrespect it. I had never played it, but I'm not looking forward to that at all.
I just feel like new Killzone comes out all the time.
They're up to three now, right?
And nobody ever gets. You don't see lines around your game.
They're about three.
I never had one of my friends be like, "Yo, pick up Killzone. It's fantastic."
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's exactly what I mean.
It's good. You're right. It's kind of like white noise at this point.
Same. When a Gears of War game comes out, we all line up to get it. When a Killzone comes out, I don't know anybody.
It's pretty good. Anyway, new Ratchet and Clank, which I know has a big following.
Yeah.
I heard they're doing a movie of it.
Are they?
A movie? Yeah, really? Why?
Is that going to be in theaters? Do you know?
The theatrical release, yeah.
Really? That would be an excellent movie.
I heard it from the voice actor who plays Ratchet. He said
would you have him over the house?
Yeah.
Over the crib?
For coffee.
Yeah, Hot Pockets and chilled.
Yeah, of course.
Anyway, the new Ratchet and Clank. I didn't play the last one, unfortunately, but I did buy it, and I kept up on the series, but it's just kind of, it's actually in the wrap at my house.
They're a little kiddie for me.
No way, dude. I mean, they're...
They're platformers, right? For the most part.
Yeah. If I'm going to buy a platformer, that's way down the echelon of platforms I'm going to mess with.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So then nobody's excited about PlayStation, so let's move
on. Not from that list, not necessarily.
I know.
These are just the exclusives.
Yeah, give us some good shit.
PlayStation also has announced 8 different indie games coming out. And
that's good.
Yeah. Good on them.
Well, right. They're really pushing that indie game thing. That's one of their primary focuses.
Oh, I know, but Xbox is doing the same thing now. They jumped right on board with that.
It's hard to keep track, Xbox, because they keep changing their minds.
Look, everything that they said they were going to do, just it's the opposite now.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway, Xbox. I went to the Xbox one, which I know I hate sounding like an Xbox fanboy. That's why I was trying to give Killzone some love, but I really do.
Well, I think really it has to do with PS3 was not very playable. A lot of those PS3 exclusive games that now getting the sequels on PS4, I never really played my PS3 that much.
That's a good point, man. They lost Metal Gear as an exclusive.
Resident Evil, they lost right. that.
If they would have came out with a new Twisted Metal coming out, maybe, or...
That's what they need to do. They need to play more to their exclusives, just like Nintendo. I mean, where's the Uncharted on?
I wanted to see Uncharted.
Where's anything from right. Naughty Dog?
Right.
The Last of Us follow-up, or...
Just a little teaser or something.
Even throw in some of the old games.
How many times is Microsoft at a trade show just throwing out a little teaser of the Chief standing there, just the Master Chief standing there, epic style, and everybody goes fucking apeshit.
Yeah, at E3, they showed Master Chief in a cloak for no reason, and everyone was like, why the hell would he need a cloak?
Yeah, but come on, that's still like a character that you
that's
going to
keep him
well.
Warm
but that,
in the
that's
armor.
That's what I'm saying. As ridiculous as it is that he's in this big bulky armor, yet he still needs a piece of, like a bed sheet around him, people still went nuts when they saw him.
Right, that's what they need to do. Just like do a flash of like maybe Crash Bandicoot or something.
A Boondocker.
Yeah, Crash in a Jedi hood or something.
Yeah. All right, so on to Xbox exclusives, which was a much beefier list. We got Dead Rising 3.
Excited.
Dude, I saw the graphics that could be the best graphical game I've ever seen.
Have you ever seen that many zombies in one place? That was
nuts.
And
they look completely different. It's
a big boy game now.
I feel like it's not going to be the other two.
It looks like they lost a lot of the campiness.
Thank God.
That's what I'm saying. It looks much nicer, and what everyone's saying, I haven't obviously got my hands on the Xbox One yet.
Yeah.
But people are saying that the videos that everyone is watching online, myself as well, because I obviously didn't go to Germany, aren't doing the Xbox One or the PS4 justice because you can't compress that much.
Right.
Just today on
raw awesomeness.
But
into
it looks
videos.
Sweet.
Just...
I wasn't blown away by the trailer necessarily, but the game.
No, the trailer was cool, man.
No, it was a lot of repeats from the older games. Oh, see, you duct tape a chainsaw to a mop handle, and you get super chainsaw.
Well,
you know,
I'm talking about just graphically.
Graphically, yeah.
That really took me in.
Of course, and the sheer amount of zombies. I just hope it's not a retread of the last two.
See,
games.
I'm a huge. That's right up my alley, but I'm not a huge fan of it because the controls kind of suck.
I'm just gonna say, do away with the time limit.
Oh my god! Yeah.
Get rid of that garbage. Definitely. Nobody
oh
wants
my god,
it.
Yeah.
I felt like I was rushing everywhere the whole game. It was
you couldn't
obnoxious.
Enjoy it. You couldn't
also,
stop and
if
have fun.
If
with
I
it.
Got a chainsaw, I could chainsaw through zombies. All day long. I don't know why they make
you
me...
never got the gore where I right. if I mess like you said like if I'm running through zombies he did the little wave of the chainsaw I was like nying, 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 and they just be dead
yeah and like in game 2 in Dead Rising 2 get rid of that Zombrex bullshit too where you need to find this one medicine to give to your daughter every 24 hours because that just killed the entire
Dead
game.
Rising 2 was dead to me because of that.
I actually never played it. I just downloaded for free this week.
The game is fun, but if it didn't have those limiting features...
No, it's not
features,
fun, because you got to take care of your daughter the whole time.
If you didn't have that...
It's like being a parent. Like,
no, it is. It actually is, because you got to be like, there at a certain time with this certain right. item that'll cost you a fortune if you try to buy it, and you can't find it anywhere.
Right, it's like, that's my Friday night, fellas. I go out to dinner with my wife, and the babysitter calls and says, my daughter's crying, and I have to go home. Yeah. I don't want to play that in a video game. Anyway, Forza is coming out. We're not going to talk about it. Killer Instinct is coming out. They're making a
awesome,
horrible
dude.
Move, though.
I'm not blown away by what I've seen.
They are making a horrible mistake.
With what?
They are coming out. They said that they couldn't develop in time enough, so they are coming out with a game. It's going to be about $20, and they're only going to come out with 6 characters.
And then what? Like, you get like
you buy them all package.
Every you buy it for 20, and you get I think it was two other characters. No, are they afterwards?
Are they going to do like a season pass thing?
Yeah, yeah, they're gonna. Well, they're promising within the next 2 months after that they're gonna have two more characters, and then within the next season they'll have probably eight more characters. But my whole thing is, I don't know anyone who's not just gonna wait for the whole game. Like, I'm not gonna buy six characters. That shit's gonna be weak.
That's not necessarily true. Like, let's just say, like, if there's a season pass, right? Let's say it's like $50, and the mm-hmm. game's 20. That's realistic what you spend for a video game anyway. And then, like, I'll buy it first day, play it. I'm sure it's a digital game, right? And I'll play it. I'll lose.
They
track
said
of
they
it.
Might come out with a hard copy disc once all the players are there.
Well, yeah. Oh, by the way, did you find out if I'm still able to buy the digital games or not?
No, I looked it up. I could not find it. Microsoft's keeping it real close to the chest with that.
Because I hope that I get to unwrap my Xbox day one, set it up, plug it in, you know, get all the defaults ready, and then just start downloading a game or two.
I'm gonna throw out an opinion, and it's strictly opinion. They'd be stupid not to.
Yeah.
Because how many people are going to go to GameStop and go, oh, we don't have that copy, and then go home and just, okay, I guess I don't get that game yet.
Like, I'd be really bummed out if I have to fight. My whole point of ordering it, I'm not waiting on any lines. I ordered it from Best Buy. They're going to deliver it to my house. I don't want to wait online now for games, like, and try to fight people to get, like, the couple really good Xbox titles. And they have about, like, four or five really good ones. Mm-hmm. I'll take any of them, really. And I'll let you start mentioning them again.
Well, these aren't all on launch, by the way.
Real quick, guys.
Which ones aren't on launch? Because these are
just previews that I'm going through.
I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, if you want to go back to Killer Instinct,
mm-hmm.
I just confirmed what you said. Six characters at launch, two additional characters over the next 4 months.
Right.
Then additional characters in the, quote, second season, which is kind of the second batch of DLC. They throw in a couple names: Jago, Saberwolf, Glacius, Thunder, Cinder, Fulgore, and Spinal. Are definitely in there, and new characters to be introduced down the line.
Well, I mean, as far as the launch day goes, I know Xbox released its initial games. They have an official list of what games are coming out.
Right.
That's what I thought you were.
No. These are just the previews upcoming. For GameCon.
Just upcoming.
No. Anyway, we also got Rise and Rome, which you were talking about.
That is going to be, I think, the game I'm going to gravitate to right off the bat, right at the box. It looks like you're watching the movie Gladiator or 300. It looks very cinematic. The gameplay looks all right. Another like hack and slash game with probably a decent story mode with some cool little mini games to it. But I think graphically and story wise, it looks like a pretty sweet game.
It looks sweet. And the big news at Gamescom this week was the multiplayer mode announcement.
Oh, it's awesome! It's the arena.
Yeah.
And they keep it's like you have a swamp or they have like, you know, animals.
For people
crazy.
Who don't know their history, cool. The arena back in the Roman days.
Colosseum.
Right.
Call it what it is.
They really did switch it up. I mean, everyone watches these movies where it was just the gladiators attacking each other, but sometimes they would flood it and have them in boats, and it was just this big entertainment center of death. And that's what they're going for in Rise. They're not just having Gladiator on Gladiator. Your team has to excite the crowd also. Like, they're going to have a crowd meter. And
are you
just
not entertained?
Oh, no, right, they do. Exactly. It really is. If you just hack and slash, the crowd gets bored with you.
Good.
But if you do, like, crazy moves and you could taunt and stuff.
So you could just hack and slash, win, get the thumbs down, and be executed?
Well, you don't get thumbs down when you win, regardless. Like, you just don't get you're, like, leveling up and your point system gets fucked up. Like, you get more specials and more leveling up when you do the cool stuff.
Right.
And it sounds like such a good way to take care of little campers or, like, just,
yeah,
just
definitely.
People who cheese you.
No, it's kind of forcing you to play the game.
I was listening to the GameCom interviews, and they were saying a lot where basically the higher scores you get, the more and more deaths you unlock. And they said there's a couple hundred deaths in the game, and they're very graphic and awesome. Like, and the crazier ones you do, the more points you get, and the better your character is. So it's incentive not to just, you know, like you said, like fucking strings a couple moves you know are going to work together, just win the match, get points to win, to get your win-loss up, but to actually have the crowd be behind you and you get a better score just because of that. Like, I think that's awesome, man.
Right. There's a lot of multiplayer goodness going out there that I like. A lot of there's the winds of change blowing through multiplayer.
I would love if there's a mode where it's like a team mode, like we're chained together Well, that fight another team.
I don't know about the chain together, but it is.
No, I would play that.
Yeah.
I admit that.
It's going to be sick. Also, a computer game that does very, very well is coming to Xbox. It's called World of Tanks.
Oh, World of Tanks is going console?
World of Tanks is going console exclusively for Xbox. I know.
I never
people,
played it, but I've heard
I know a
lot
of people who love it, and I'm going to be interested. I know they have microtransactions in the game. It's not rampant like it is in other games, but you know, you can buy a upgraded tank for real money and stuff. I don't think Microsoft's going to allow that.
What I've learned about microtransactions are, unless you're buying new characters, it really ruins a game when you advance yourself before you advance yourself. Like, I did it with a couple of games. I'm sick of leveling up, and then I just leveled up all the way, and the game was stupid because I just killed everyone in one shot.
Well, yeah. I don't see them doing it in a multiplayer game
like MMO World of Tanks kind of thing like this. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. World of Tanks is a free to play game, so they have to make their money somehow. But when I'm paying $60 for it on Xbox, I can't see them saying. I mean, yeah, add-ons for different tanks, of course, because that's the trend now, add-ons. But I can't see definitively paying more money for better armor upgrades. I just don't see it happening.
Yeah.
So hopefully that doesn't happen, because I'm excited about World of Tanks. I've never played it. I know a lot of people.
Do you know
who
what type of game it is?
Yeah, it's a tank game, dude.
I mean, don't be a dick.
All right, when you first start off. I think it was Americans, Russian, and German. You get to choose between the different brand of tanks, and there's like a heavy one and a scout one and different things like that. And it's just like a team thing where it's like
basically
you're just
inside the tank just shooting other tanks, or it's like a third person view. Like...
No, you guys are just tanks. Hence the name, World of Tanks.
Obviously, you don't know.
There's no World
about.
Of Tanks.
I'm just
and
saying,
planes.
Like, how's like, what, how's it look like? How do you play it? Like, is it like, you know, a third person view of the tank? Are you inside the tank?
Yes, it's a third person view of the tank, and you're rolling around just like when you take the tank over in, like, let's say Halo.
You never saw the
but everyone's got one.
I literally, until you mentioned it, I never heard
it's
of it.
It's actually commercials all over TV for this thing.
No, it's legit.
TV, come on, DVR. Like,
it's legit, but it's not like what you're thinking in MMO, where you roll around as a tank and like you do quests and shit like that. It's just like a blitz on each other, you know? Mm-hmm. And you just blow each other up. But like, I know there are microtransactions within the game where you can buy better.
Yeah.
You can buy a golden bullet or whatever ammo that'll shoot through
initially
somebody.
Free to play.
Right.
And then you have to start paying money if you want to actually get competitive with it.
Right. I need them to take that away.
All right.
Zoo Tycoon is exclusive to Xbox for whatever it's worth.
I mean, if you like The Sims, I imagine you like Zoo Tycoon.
That's unnecessary for a console.
Titanfall, if anyone's ever heard of that game.
Titanfall is a MechWarrior game, right?
I don't know if that sounds like something.
That game looks
gonna be
fantastic.
No, that game looks sweet.
Yeah.
That game is good.
It looks incredible. They've had gameplay.
Is that day one game or no?
Day one game.
Well, I have two games.
Wait, is it a day one?
No,
game?
I don't think
I want to say it is.
I don't think
I don't know
not,
for sure.
That's not a day one game. That's an Xbox exclusive, but not a day one.
I think that's just my heart screaming out day one game.
That's not a day one
you're
game.
You're right. I don't think it is.
I think that's coming out next year sometime in
scheduled
spring.
For release 2014. So definitely not a day one.
No. Anyway, Titanfall, for people who don't know, it is basically Call of Duty with Max.
With giant robots.
That won mucho E3 awards, though. Like, it looks like it's going to be the next best multiplayer.
Well, in the new footage.
60 E3 awards.
In the new footage for at Gamescom, they showed what happens when you're out of your mech, and you can take down other mechs.
It's not even that hard.
No, I know.
It's like, if you're in a mech, it's just a different way to fight.
I just hope that it's not too easy where it renders the mechs kind of obsolete.
No, it's just...
Right, I know what you're talking about.
The mechs are more powerful.
Like Crisis, where the mech is just so slow that
people are going to be able to beat these things too quickly.
It looks like the perfect marriage.
It's because I've seen the gameplay, and when you're in your suit, you get to run in all the buildings. You have a jetpack. You're like a gnat to the mech, you know?
Yeah.
While when you're in the mech, like if you just get a guy in the open field, that guy's fucked.
He's toast. Yeah.
And then the mech wars themselves are worth the price of a mission. Like, you know, we all watched Pacific Rim this summer, and just to have a game with some mechs in it, I'm so happy. Like,
right. Well, out of the blue, there is a game that was announced at Gamescom, which I am probably most excited about, which I didn't think I would be, but Fable Legends.
I thought you guys were done with that series.
I was done with the series.
What are they adding to it that
you're
excited about?
They're kind of doing the Saints Row 4 thing where they're totally changing it up.
Now, they need to do that.
Which they're doing.
Quick question. For the Fable series for 2 and 3, were you unhappy with the story or the gameplay?
And it was pretty much the same story second as third. Like, I mean,
was that what turned you off? Was the story?
I liked Fable 2. To be fair to it, mm-hmm. Fable 3 was just utter garbage.
And it was because of the gameplay or the story?
Both.
Both were. They didn't change anything, basically?
It was just
the same
no,
game.
No, no. They changed it up. It's just they decided, hey, let's take all this stuff and make it not fun.
In Fable 1, this is just my view on it. There were definitive paths. If you wanted to be a mage, you had to be a mage. If you wanted to be a sword guy or a tank or a hero or whatever you want to call them, you had to be that. In Fable 2, they started mixing in. They gave me a dog, which I liked, but they started mixing in aspects of both. And by Fable 3, you were just both. You were, you
had no, it was choice on what you look like, and
they made the options a lot less.
It was you become the king after half the game. You overthrow your brother, who's the king. And then the second half of the game becomes, you need to manage the kingdom.
Yeah, Pete and I have talked about this in length off the podcast. In the third one, what basically happens is your brother's a giant asshole. You start an underground movement or join an underground movement and overthrow him. And he goes, hey, you know what? I'm a giant asshole, but there's this huge evil coming our way. And I was a giant asshole taxing everyone because I need to build up our army to defeat it. So you have a choice whether to be a giant asshole like me or to be
this great guy
and let your people get flattened.
Did you, like, occupy the kingdom or something like that?
What?
No, you became the king.
Like, occupy you
took
Wall Street? You know, like, just... All right, stupid joke.
It was bad.
All right. Let's sit on that for a second.
Anyway, you had to manage your kingdom a lot. Like, you had to wake up in the morning, and there would be, like, six very wordy missions where they're just like, do you want to build up the orphanage, or do you want to make this building a house of prostitution? And you'd have to listen to the arguments. It was just very boring.
It was super boring. On a side note, they did have at least some good voice work in there. Like, Michael Fassbender's a major character. John Cleese is a major character. Like, they actually had some Ben Kingsley's in there. Simon Pegg was in there.
So in the new one, what's exciting about it?
Okay, the new one has nothing to do with the old ones. The new one is a 4-player game. Well, technically 5-player, and it technically can be 1-player. Let me explain. You will either be the team, which is consistent of a archer, a mage, a tank, and a rogue. And if you're playing it 1-player, then you have control of all 4, or you can play 4-player co-op. It's a dungeon-based game where you have to go in and defeat each dungeon, but what's really cool about it is in the multiplayer, someone's also the villain, which I love because these multiplayer games in which everyone's on the same team are usually so easy to me to figure out the computer's next move. But what I'm actually super excited about is the villain. It's an overhead look of where you're dropping the enemies and traps and stuff. And
essentially, you're playing a giant game of Dungeons and Dragons.
I was about to say that.
Right, right.
I was going to say, you're your own little world. And,
right. And you have a dungeon master who's the villain who's going to drop obstacles
in
your way.
Here's the thing. You can play on the same TV, as just like you were talking about, that you missed that. And the villain can play on his iPad and drop shit into the dungeon there. So we can all be in the same room again, finally, in which everyone's trying their heart out, and then one guy's like...
See, I think that's definitely what PS3 and Xbox 360 forgot about, was that some people just have friends and they don't want to be online on like 4 different Xboxes.
Is such a thing as everybody in a room together.
Yeah, like,
right,
yeah.
And we're all sick of Mario Party. You know? Like,
yeah, like Mario Party is like...
We're done with it.
Yeah, I do miss just going, hey, guys, let's come over, let's bring a fucking case of beer and we'll just play a game for all night. You know?
Well, you can play this online and you can also play this in the same room, and I'm excited about it. I love this marriage of the smart glass or iPad with the consoles. I really like it. I also think that it's absolutely going to kill the Wii U.
It's on its way out as far as the system. Like, I mean, not Nintendo, but the Wii U itself.
Yeah. Yeah. Other announcements at Gamescom. I'll go over the PS announcements. Some of them are pretty nice. The biggest announcement, of course, is its release date, which November Microsoft 15th. November 15th.
Is it? I got an email because I bought one that said, "Oh, it's going to be November 15th for Xbox." They haven't actually released the date of it yet, right?
No, they haven't. It was. I think the Xbox 360 was released on November 13th. Back in the, or 15th back in the day.
Well, I don't know. That's like a decade ago. It's 01.
I was reading on the boards, but this wasn't a confirmed fact that you know, people were saying, in your face, Microsoft, we're coming out November 15th.
Well,
I can only imagine. All right, here's the thing. Call of Duty is coming out November 5th. I think Xbox is going to come out November 5th with it because it's 10 days earlier. I know last time Xbox had that huge advantage of being a next-gen console that came out, what, months before the PS3, and they liked that.
Oh, they came a year.
Yeah, a year.
It was November to November.
Okay, so it was a full year, so they really enjoyed that. I think that's really what gave them their steam.
Well, it was a combination of things. PS3 came out the year before Xbox jumped onto the scene, and then they came out with a new system the year before PS2 went to PS3.
Right.
So they had two systems in between PS2 to PS3.
I think they've been waiting for the announcement of PlayStation so they can come out earlier.
Well,
that's been the story of this whole console cycle.
Well, I don't know if Best Buy blew up their spot in a weird way, but I did buy one already from Best Buy, and then like a month ago they sent me an email being like, they originally said, oh, it's going to come to me on like, you know, the 31st of December. Then they said, oh, we have an official change, the 15th of November.
Oh, Best Buy hit you up with
Best
that?
Buy was like, hey, well, you'll get your system on the 15th of November. This is like a month or two ago.
That's interesting.
So I don't know if like inadvertently they blew up Xbox's shit, but that's when I got an email saying that my Xbox will be delivered to me on the 15th.
I'd like to point out that you heard it here first. I think they're going to move it up to November 5th to coincide with Call of Duty. Because if...
You think Call of Duty's that big?
There's a lot of Call of Duty fanboys who are going to want that.
I really wish we would stop basing every decision on Call of Duty.
I don't think they're going to change the release of their system based on Call of Duty.
But it's also earlier.
Because their big game coming out on Xbox One, at least, is Battlefield.
Well, the big game coming out on everything is Call of Duty.
No.
You know you're going to
hit their first-person shooter that they're really pushing graphically and multiplayer is Battlefield.
Call of Duty is going to be the one.
That's the most popular one, but I'm saying I think the next generation game is Battlefield. That's going to be the one that really
takes. You think it's going to surpass Call of Duty?
Yeah, did you see the E3 of it, man? It looks a million times better than Call of Duty.
I did, but there's a lot of fans.
I wasn't that thrilled with it. It's just another army game.
I like the old
genre so much, but look at it graphically.
Graphically, it looks nice, but it's like...
The old one looked great.
This is nothing I haven't
seen. The Battlefield series was always awesome because, like, say you're playing Capture the Flag, you can blow a hole in the wall and go in. I mean, it's much more legit.
I'm watching they're fighting on a ship, and then the ship's blowing up, and, like, the pieces of the ship are moving, and then, like, it changed your fight.
That's the way the Battlefield always was.
That's what I'm saying. I think that's going to be your next-gen system... First-person shooter, I think, is Battlefield.
The only problem I ever had with Battlefield is when you die and you have to run for like 10 minutes to get back in the action.
Yeah, that's my problem with Halo.
All right, well, then they share that same problem.
All the whips are gone.
Anyway, more Sony news. Sony, this is a nuanced one, but it could be a powerhouse. Sony is partnering with Virgin Media to offer broadband bundles with dedicated broadband for gamers. Virgin Mobile is trying to get into a national company. That's pretty much what it means.
Do you mean like
internet service
for your home internet or your iPad internet?
It's going to be exclusive for gaming
for your console.
For your console?
Yeah.
I think that's awesome.
Oh yeah, dude, that's incredible.
I don't play multiplayer, so I don't care, but it sounds like a good idea.
I would pay an extra $10-$15 a month to have a solely based internet for my game.
Oh, hell yeah. Me too.
That you don't have to lag. You don't have to, you know, if you're hosting.
You're not lagging out. Like, that's such a huge deal. It would be worth, like, whatever, $150 a year or $200.
It's a giant deal.
Yeah.
No, and that's a good idea. It's smart.
That's a nuanced thing that I think I don't want to call them dumber, but I can't really think of a more pleasant word for it. So the dumber gamers are not going to care about, but it's a powerful thing.
I can't wait for the clever names that the internet people call the one internet people to the two internet people. Like, you know, it's like, what do you want? One internet? What are you, some type of fucking cheapskate?
The internet and their creativity.
Did I hear onesie?
If I hear the words Batfleck again, Thank you, Internet, for being so creative.
Nice. Also, the Vita is going to $199 across the board, so Target.
It's just $200?
Yeah. That's standard.
Is it really?
That surprised you last week, too.
I know. Every week it surprises.
I'm surprised it surprises you so much this week. No,
this is actually a retread of last week's conversation.
I'm shocked every time I hear it.
Right.
And then every time you tell me that the Wii is like $400, I'm like, what?
Well, they also bundled in the Vita numbers. Now, Sony is kind of cheating. They're saying, oh, we sold, like, you know, 200,000 units this month. But they're not saying, oh, we sold 1,999 PlayStations and one Vita. So they're kind of cheating a little bit. Xbox, by the way, is still not revealing how many pre-orders they have. So they must be lagging.
I actually read an article today on Yahoo that they're way behind. You might have a real big problem finding day ones.
For Xbox?
It was on Yahoo today that you might find...
Oh, I meant... What I was referring to is that the PS is killing them.
That in pre-sales, PlayStation got off to a really good head start compared...
I heard what you said, but I'm saying I read an article today that Xbox is way behind their...
Manufacturing,
and you're going to have a hard time getting your day ones.
Yeah, that's fine with me.
All right, well, just to let you guys know, at the Gamescom, Xbox really came with it with the games, which is what you're essentially supposed to do with Gamescom.
At Gamescom.
But they did come out with a couple little tidbits, and that's the pre-orders will be getting FIFA 14 for free.
Yeah.
In Europe.
That's so lame.
I know. Also, FIFA 14 is going to have a legendary characters mode.
That's an Xbox only.
Yeah. Yep.
Apparently, like in America, only this giant shot guy plays this game. So
I know, just that
we don't need
power
to bring this here.
That's like his house. Also, Xbox signed a multi-million dollar deal with football,
like the NFL.
Yeah,
for an exclusive game.
No, I'm gonna assume that it's for that thing they were showing.
I'm gonna assume that if they signed a direct deal with football, that's to show.
That's what I would
say. Like, the games
because
on Xbox Network.
They're doing that, like, Netflix-y kind of thing.
Oh, no. See, that would be awesome to have some sort of NFL pass on
your new
Xbox.
Sunday pass.
That's what I feel
is going to be
gonna
Xbox.
Buy an NFL.
But what I was thinking is that they were showing off at the big Xbox One reveal the fact that it can real-time on TV. So I was thinking that maybe they're going to do something a little cooler with the Xbox One. Like, maybe saying, like, hey... Rewind that play, or watch that play again, or you know what I mean.
Well, the way sports are broadcasted, that is the most unneeded thing in the world.
No, you don't need it. Right. Have you watched NFL lately? It's nothing but replays.
Well, I know they were showing off their fantasy drafts skills.
Yeah, but again, on your actual, if you have Verizon, you could see your fantasy team on your TV anyway. If they're gonna make an exclusive deal with the NFL, what I'm getting from it is that they're gonna have the right to stream the live games to your Xbox, and you obviously for a price you pay like whatever $250.
Yeah, it's going
to
be like the Sunday
the
Direct
TV Sunday Pass.
Okay.
Now that would be a gigantic thing because I would kill the whole satellite network because no one would ever buy that bullshit. Mm-hmm. And two, that'd be huge for Xbox. That's a huge thing.
That's
over,
a giant get.
Over,
that's a big
pickup. Sony can't get a bigger get than that.
Sony can't. No,
Sony can't top that. No, but Sony
can't top
that.
Sony
no,
couldn't
no,
top
no.
that.
No, where are they going to bring it?
NHL.
Baseball?
Season pass. Nobody cares.
I mean, there's nothing bigger than that.
Right.
Well,
MLB
would have more games, but less people care.
No one even buys MLB pass online.
I know.
Also, Call of Duty is going to have exclusive content.
Call of Duty.
You get an extra gun.
Fucking cares.
No, you get exclusive co-op mode. Okay. All right.
I mean, Call of Duty is Call of Duty. I just play for the zombie. I didn't even play the Modern Warfare one anymore. I just play the zombie one.
And Division is going to get exclusive.
Call of Duty is the law and order of video games. Meaning, at any given point, there's too many people doing it.
I don't
and
hate
into
it,
it
so
watching
much.
It, and it's always the same goddamn show.
I'm just not that excited for Call of Duty. That's why I said Battlefield, I think, is going to take Call of Duty for your, like, first-person shooters.
I hope. At least they're trying
Call of
different
Duty
things.
Call needs to pull a Fable and a Saints Row 4 real
reinvention?
Quick. Yeah. I'm getting tired of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been done with that game since Modern Warfare 1.
The only real love I have is just the zombie mode, really.
And even that, it's like, it doesn't go anywhere. It never goes
but
anywhere.
But I'm fine, though. It's just fun.
All right.
It's
so,
fun for a few.
Anyway, that was the news. That's not everything that happened at Gamescom, but that's everything I cared about.
It was a big juicy morsel we got to fill.
It was a big piece. You know, if you guys, I mean, we, you
I'm
guys,
stuffed. I can't eat.
You guys just got the steak. That if was, you guys want the rice and beans, whatever.
That was a hearty slice.
Yeah.
You know? It's time to take a test.
This is a test.
Pop quiz, hot shot.
This is only a test.
All right, well, this week I'm going to go into exclusive weapons in games. Okay. You know, I'm gonna name three different weapons. I'm going to name one first, and then you guys are going to be able to, of course, raise your hand and chime in and try and hit it. They're not very, very well known. Well, I guess there are a couple.
I see Shaq shaking his head, and I'm going to return that shake with another shake. Oh. This sounds tough.
Yeah, does it?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll see when the questions come about.
Do we have to name the game?
Yes. All right. The series.
Or whatever.
If you want to name which particular... Nah, you know what? Just name the series. I didn't pick all that well-known games. I mean, of course, there are a couple well-known ones, but I didn't pick, like, let's say, like the Fire Flower, and like I didn't pick Mario or Zelda.
Oh, no, not the Fire Flower.
Master Sword.
But I did try and pick games that both of you knew, so that it wasn't just going to be Stumpers the whole time.
All right, let's jump in.
I just wanted to pay homage to the fact that some games come out with these cool weapons, you know, and not every game is like, of course, tonight's the night to dump on Call of Duty, but
Lancer.
No, that's not in there. That's too obvious. But you know, the AK-47's been in too many games. You know what I mean?
It's like everything.
Right. Okay. So we got five questions here. I'm going to kick it off right now. I got quite a bit of sounds, good sounds and bad sounds, to let you know.
All right.
Because I didn't have that many sounds on the board tonight. So number one, the Spear of Destiny. No takers.
Are we?
Oh.
Oh, I thought you were giving us three.
Brutal Legend?
Are you giving us multiple for each
game? Oh, yeah,
game,
I'm giving one, and then you can ask, and then I'm going to give another one, and then you can answer.
Oh, okay.
All right, now I know that.
The Barbarian Hammer. And of course, I pick more obvious weapons as the weapons progress.
Of course, of course.
The Blade of Olympus. Giant Shock.
God of War.
Groovy! Yeah,
that one was one point. He gets one point. By the way, each weapon, Max, I didn't explain that. You get a guess, but you can't just shoot off multiple guesses. But one guess per weapon.
Okay, one per. I would say
right.
One
he wasn't,
per round.
No, he wasn't shot. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Well, I didn't.
That's
know
fine.
That in general.
It's fine.
Well, you mean you said the Spear of Destiny? I was like, I bet you said the Jack Black game.
No, but yeah, I thought the same thing.
Nice.
By that last one, we both knew it, but you were quicker on the punch the second he said Olympus. So
right. That's what I figured. All right, so number two, the throwing knife.
Every game ever.
Max Barracuda.
If we could go with every game.
Every, yeah.
Ever. What had that? I don't know. GoldenEye had that?
Wow. Yo, right off the bat, man.
Ghouls and Ghosts had that.
Now
yeah,
I get the
so
rules,
did,
bitch.
So did Perfect Dark. But you know what? He made his one guess. The next weapons were going to be the Cougar Magnum, which a lot of people don't call the Cougar Magnum. And then we were going to go with the Moonraker Laser and the Golden Gun.
Okay.
Yeah. Which, come on.
That would have become quite obvious.
Okay, so we got one and one. Right now, we're going to hit up the Stiletto. Giant, take your guess. You raise your hand.
Perfect Dark. Is that good or bad?
That's Mega Man dying, fool. Negative.
Well, I didn't. I raised my hand, but I tried to break down. Then you
right, right.
Me.
We're rolling. Next one, Staff of Eden. And the third and last weapon, the Sword of Altair. Max Barracuda.
Assassin's Creed.
Now that I remember the stiletto,
the stiletto is
the
dagger.
Yeah.
Right. Right, that's why I picked it for number one. Trust me, brother, I know what I'm doing. For the fourth game, it's going to be the missile pod first.
Missile Pod?
Mm-hmm.
I think this is the game I just mentioned.
Then we also have the Fuel Rod Gun. And lastly, fellas, get your hands ready, we have the Gravity Hammer. Giant Shock.
Halo?
There you go. It's 2-on-2.
Should have known by Fuel Rod.
Fuel Rod Gun.
Motherfucker.
Tied up? The first two things are just, we're not going to get it.
Right.
I got thrown knives, bitch.
Are we tied up? He got it, too.
I said every game
he
ever.
Totally got it. No, that doesn't count.
What are we, 2-on-2?
2-on-2. Yeah.
Final round?
For the fucking championship.
All right, get those fingers rolling, fellas. The Blunderbuss.
Oh, wait.
I know what you're thinking.
Giant?
The Blunderbuss is in Call of Duty, the zombies mode. It is in that.
But that's not the game I was thinking.
Blunderbuss is not an exclusive thing.
The next one's coming. That's kind of to funnel you guys into the thought process. Right. You know, the first one. Throwing knife obviously wasn't either. The Volcanic Pistol. And lastly, there was a lasso in this game. Giant Shot.
Red Dead Redemption.
Nice. And the winner this week.
How easy. You always beat me on a Red Dead question.
Giant Shot.
Every time you beat me, it's on a Red Dead. I played the shit
James
out
Marsden,
of that.
That's my dude.
Nice. All right.
And it's John Marston.
No, it's James Marsden.
That's Cyclops.
That's the guy who gets his woman stolen. That's right. If it wasn't for that, then I wouldn't have spent that year in college.
All right, so good test. And just so everyone knows, I purposely stayed away from, like, Master Sword. Or like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. No.
Was that Zelda?
Yeah.
Of course.
He says, is that Zelda after he wins? Jesus.
Why do you turn that down? People don't know what you're talking about.
No, they don't know what you're trying to play.
God damn it.
They get it.
Just retarded tug of war.
I think
week.
It's funny.
All right. Next section is a section that I want everyone to know we're not haters on this show, but we do have a couple of gripes. These are not just hateful rants, but the things that need to be addressed. Game gripes, people.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
I hate everything about you.
Oh, good for you. Fucking thing sucks.
It makes me so mad.
You know what really grinds my gears?
Did anyone get the joke in there?
I fucking love that.
Grinds my gears, and then Marcus dies.
Anyway. All right.
Thank you.
Very inside, but thanks. I like it.
All right, well, if you guys want, I'll kick it off. I'm going to start off with a little bit of the story.
Well, game gripes. You can explain exactly what we're doing? Or?
Yeah, game gripes. We're just complaining about... I thought I explained it before.
Didn't I?
Right.
I just heard we're not haters.
But we do have some problems with some games.
Right, just some problems, you know? We're not trying to be jerks or anything.
Okay.
Anyway, here's a little story.
Of a lovely lady?
No, Paul Revere. No. Anyway, I walk into GameStop to, of course, buy... Well, Game Hut. Alright, whatever. I had to give it to GameStop. I'm sorry, Jay. I walk into GameStop to buy Saints Row. And apologies to the Game Hut.
GameStop located everywhere, Jay.
Anyway, I walk into GameStop, and they asked me if I want to buy the bundle for PS, for the Rockstar bundle, which is going to come with, of course, Grand Theft Auto V. So I go, what's a Rockstar bundle? They go, it comes with Grand Theft Auto V, and you also get 75% off any Rockstar game, an exclusive controller. So I was like, oh, you know what? Can I apply? Because I have my Xbox One paid off. My PlayStation 4 only has $100 on it. So I go, can I apply that on my regular PS4? And they looked at me funny, and they're like, no, this isn't the PlayStation 4. This is a PS3 bundle. So that's my gripe for this section. I hate the fact that they push these things so hard to come out with these sweet bundles like a month before the new systems come out, because they know damn well that 3 months from now, PS3 is going to have to take a price cut.
Well, I mean, it makes sense for them. They got to get rid of inventory.
But what I'm saying is it's not a mom-and-pop store. It's not like they're like looking in the back room like, oh, damn, we got a lot of these things.
It's much worse than a mom-and-pop store. They got a national warehouse full of bullshit.
And this is their opportunity to squeeze every last drop out of that. But it's not the Fort Knox.
I mean, once they sold them to Best Buy, who cares?
You know, the thing is, with a mom-and-pop store like your friend Jay, or your brother-in-law Jay, he's maybe, what, got like 12 PS3s to hawk out before PS4 comes out.
Yeah,
think about it. Probably got about like a couple thousand of these bitches, maybe 100,000, 300,000 of these. Mm. It makes sense why they would do it.
No, I get the gripe, but I also see the other side.
It's annoying.
I mean,
it is that it's misleading.
Right.
I'm more annoyed at the misleading thing.
Basically what I'm annoyed about.
But I mean, you know, when the new system comes out, you know, 6 months before, you're going to get discounts on the older systems.
I get it. It's just something to complain about, really.
Yeah. But here's this out-of-date shit you might want for slightly cheaper. Well, you know, but if you were to wait 3 more months, it'll drop even further.
Some less fortunate gamers, man, this is when they jump.
They should wait 3 months.
Well, no, like a guy who's on a budget, only has Xbox, this is when he might grab a PS3. And see what was all about.
I never had a PS3. I might grab one just to play some games.
Anyone who's on a budget now, I'm going to let you know, wait 3 months to buy your PS3.
Yeah, of course. When it's slashed.
Well, I mean, he gets the super bundle. You get the game, the controller, you get the system. The 75%
off of Rockstar products is interesting to me. But I can't think of a Rockstar game that's not pretty much under $20 now for the PS3.
Red Dead Redemption.
I think that's a $20 bill now.
That's still like $35.
Stop bringing up that game. You know nothing of it.
I played through it mostly.
No, you didn't.
I did.
Anyway.
Hunting a lot of things in the desert.
That was mine.
I'm going to quiz you on the end after
this. Happen to know Max's, which is a good one, which I probably should have kicked it off first with, to prove that we're not haters. But Max, you want to hit it up?
All right, I'll jump in. So I touched on this last week, and again, like you said, we're not haters, but I felt like there's too many out there. So I did a little YouTube researching, came up with this. First, I typed in just video game reviews, video game reviewers, and these were the names that came up in the first two pages. These are the majority. Angry Video Game Nerd, Irate Gamer, The Bastard Gamer, The Pissed Off Gamer, The Game Grumps, Pissed Off Video Gamers, and The Angry Joe Show.
Well, to be fair to the Bastard Gamer, he might just have a bad life. In the like he might be literally
his parents are just really.
Jon Snow plays video games too. All right.
Well, I go deeper. So then I typed in top 10 video games, just see what comes up. Here's what it is: top two pages in YouTube, top 10 worst game endings, top 10 game flops, top 10 most hated characters, top 10 worst sequels, top 10 most annoying bosses. Top 10 overrated franchises. So now I'm noticing this trend, right? I go a little deeper. I type in a game that's critically acclaimed. First one that came to mind
was BioShock?
BioShock Infinite. First page. Everything wrong with BioShock.
You guys got to see the smug look on Giant Shock's face that he guessed that game.
No, you told me before.
I told him before the show.
Oh, come on.
Everything BioShock Infinite gets wrong. The angry BioShock review. And why The Last of Us is better. And by the way, if you look up The Last of Us, why BioShock Infinite is better, everything that's wrong with The Last of Us, and the angry The Last of Us review. So, my gripe is you, video game reviewers on YouTube, especially you, the community.
My gripe is you, America.
You, America! Well, I'm mad as hell, and I'm not gonna take it anymore.
Again, I think that's a lot to do with the shows you watch, The Soup, like
it's
Tosh.0.
Yes, it's cultural. But guess what? Where's the love? Where's the love?
Well,
you can have love,
you know,
for something.
You said that you're not a multiplayer gamer, and Giant Shock and I are. It's fun. I really only have fun. I don't have fun dumping on people. I have fun getting in verbal confrontations with
and
people.
Dumping on those said people.
But here's the thing.
Well, I mean, I mean, if they come with a pea shooter and I come with an M16, whatever, we were set to fight.
Dan takes out the garbage in his spare time. He likes to dump. He likes to bring people to the dumps all day.
I really do. I am a verbal combatant.
There's nothing better than Dan. He didn't care if he wins the game, but as long as he gets his couple comments in.
Here's my question.
To be fair,
yeah.
my biggest goal when I'm making fun of someone is to get them to laugh at something.
These
like, I
are
made
not
a,
people.
Such a good one.
These are not people making fun of anybody. These aren't people busting their friends' balls. These are people who make an attempted career of going on YouTube and tearing down video games for the sake of tearing them down. They're always grumpy and angry and irate. I get it. These are good games. Why are you playing games if you're so fucking miserable playing games?
All right, just like anything, it's easier to be negative than it is to be
easier
positive.
To be negative, and you're all fat dudes with neck beards who use the words, what the fuck, every sentence. We get it. The angry video game nerd started it, and you're all just biting off his style.
Well, to be fair to the angry video game nerd, he specifically saw
I know
games
you're a
that
fan.
Did so.
I know you're a fan, and you're right. He does specifically pick out old NES games.
That's
the rest of these
that
guys
specifically were terrible.
The rest of these guys that I looked into, they're hating on every single thing that comes out. That's why I did the BioShock search, just to see. Even this acclaimed game that you know most people find really breathtaking,
which we all love. I loved it.
Yeah, there's still people just going, here's everything that's wrong with it in 60 seconds.
Right.
And it's like, oh, plot holes. There's no plot holes in what you're pointing at. You're just pointing at little tiny details in the game that nobody gives a
right,
fuck
about. Right, that the developer or the writer of the story could easily just probably explain.
Yeah, they're hating for the sake of hating because it's easier and it's lazy and it's pathetic. And if you really love video games, write something nice. Like, we're a comic book company. We draw, we work on comics. We create comic books. I draw them. I spent the better part of the year drawing a comic. And if we go to Comic-Con this year and I hand out a comic to somebody who's the, you know, the pissed off comic book reviewer or the irate comic reader, and all he does is gripe about it, I'm going to punch him in the goddamn neck.
Well, hopefully he has a t-shirt or something indicating who he is.
Well, he's getting punched anyway.
I don't mind if it truly does stink and you make fun of it. But you know what? A lot. It's just, like I said before, it's just easier to hate on something. And it's a lot more fun to, like we love riff tracks. All they do is hate on old
right.
things.
They don't really pick on the movie so much as just make jokes over it. Though
that's we just saw Starship Troopers.
I know, I was there, but they never at any point really go like, this movie's a piece of shit. They make jokes about the dialogue and about the characters.
I think it. I mean, without getting too deep, because this is not a psychological podcast, I think nowadays it's easier to show that basically indifference to everything equals coolness. Yeah,
but
you know what I mean,
you take one look at these guys and their videos are worse than any game I've ever played.
Oh, they're not.
I would rather play Aliens cool. Colonial Marine than watch your videos.
Stop hating.
I just picked the worst game
that's
of the past
the
year.
Game,
of the past year. Of the past year it is.
I'm sure there's worse.
And that's just because I didn't play Walking Dead Survival Instinct.
I was going to say that
yeah,
was
you know what?
Worse.
We could probably dedicate a whole after-school bullying special to this topic, so I'm going to nip it. You're right.
I just want to point out...
You're totally right.
It's a disturbing trend. Where's the love?
Where is the love?
It's not on the internet.
Where's the... Have a little love.
I mean, if it is on the
if
internet...
If you care enough about video games to be doing a review on YouTube, show a little love.
Look, the only love you're going to find on the internet is the random encounters on Craigslist. That's like the only love you're going to...
Everything's
even hate.
Then, that
and
love...
And even that on Long Island, that's not a good idea.
And that love comes at a price.
You'll go beach.
Anyway, Giant Shock.
Well, I have two. One, I always hate when new systems come out, right? And this will bring
really?
Me...
I love
no,
that.
No. This will bring me to my second thing. But you have your yearly games, like your Maddens and all that stuff. And they made it specifically for the 360 or a PS3, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be on the new consoles. There's really nothing different about it, right? But they'll advertise it as, oh, you know, Xbox... You know, one, you know, PS4, brand new, souped up graphics, and you get it, and it's literally a carbon copy of the older version, the last generation version of the game.
Yeah, Rockstar did that with Grand Theft Auto 5. They were like, oh, you know, we're pushing it back to make the graphics stunning, and it's still coming out on 360.
It's the same, it's literally the same thing. They just made it on that system as well.
And you're specifically probably. Referring to sports games is a prime example
of
this.
Most yearly games have it.
That's why that's a good
Assassin's Creed
example.
Black Flag is coming out on all systems, and it's probably going to look the same.
It's probably going to be the exact same mechanic in Assassin's Creed 3. Right.
And that'll bring me to my second little gamer gripe, is that yearly games, I hate the fact that it's basically you're just trying to collect money, and they don't need to be yearly when there's nothing that really changed from the last year.
Nothing that can't be handled with DLC.
I play lots of multiplayer games, and they seem to be the biggest culprits of it, whether it be your Call of Duties or your sports games, except for FIFA. That changes every year. But you know, Madden hasn't like almost not changed. If you play like a 5-year run of Madden, and I played 5 different games with you, and I asked you to choose, like you had no idea what because of the players on the teams, you wouldn't be able to tell me what year was what, you know.
Oh, I don't know the players on the team.
But so saying, that would be the giveaway.
The only thing I know about the series is Pat Summerall's not on it.
Well, in Call of Duty, they'll hook you up with some. You're basically paying for new multiplayer boards. No one really plays. Even if you play the story mode, okay, so you get like a minute story mode, and maybe they'll give you a couple of new perks or weapons when they really didn't put that much love into it.
Right.
And they did. All they could have done was keep feeding you DLC content for the old one. You didn't have to buy a whole new $56 game. And I wish that they would take more love into multiplayer gaming and take their time with the games they put out instead of just whipping them out every year.
Here's why it won't change, though. Money.
Well, no, get you not DLC. Necessarily. People,
like I run said, out just... every year. I don't play these games, but I run out every year and buy my brother the new Madden because it's the only thing he wants every year for his birthday.
I have actually officially stopped buying Madden. The last two I bought, I didn't even play.
That's great.
Because you know what, really,
stop to the cycle of abuse.
I'm American, but you know what officially made me stop buying Madden was FIFA. Every year I buy FIFA, it's like a completely different game. All
right, but
hey, Rice, did you know he liked FIFA?
Wait a second.
I didn't know it.
FIFA? You?
That's right. It's called the beautiful game.
Anyway, by
no, the world.
Assassin's
the
Creed.
The world calls it.
Assassin's Creed That's a comes pretty... out with a decent game every year.
Yes, but also they have two different studios doing it.
Right. Yeah, and
teams, two different teams.
I mean, when you really get down to it, Assassin's Creed 2, Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, and Assassin's Creed Revelations were all the same game.
The story is so awesome that you overlooked the minute differences between three.
Right.
That they just shuffled the city around, and we'll call it Rome now, and now you're there. I mean, three was great, but now you look at Black Flag, and it's just the nautical missions. Which I loved,
and I wanted them to flesh out.
Some of my favorite series, like I feel like Gears of War, literally changed the game every time I played it.
I don't know about
number two
Gears being an example.
No, number two from number one was the complete opposite. Where you like the first one, you had a tag, you actually literally be hit with stuff. Well, in the second one, you could throw the smoke bombs, change everything. Where all the grenades, everything would hit you and
I think
the
duck
place.
And cover. Became more legitimate.
They souped up the Lancer in it.
They did. Because in the first one, even in hardcore mode, since I am a very good aim by now, I could really just kind of run around in the open and cap off Locust.
They can completely change the sniper rifle where it's not a two-shot down.
They did.
I still just feel like you pick up a Gears game, you know exactly what you're doing.
The game type, but the gameplay changed so much.
You still instinctively do the extra reload.
But you were never a multiplayer guy. The game type in the multiplayer was so different.
The multiplayer was totally different.
I'm just going off my experience.
But to go on what Pete said, yes, when you pick up a Gears game, you know what you're doing, which is an excellent segue into our newest and most exciting section, Meet a Developer.
Hello.
How's it hanging?
What's up?
Hello.
Anyway, I took that that segue to run with it, because all these topics we could really talk about all day.
Go all day.
This is a section that I came up with. I'm really excited about it. I came up with it because I was coming up for a test for these guys about developers, and I was like, you know what? A lot of people don't know a lot of stuff about developers. So when I walk into a GameStop or when Giant Shock or... I'm trying not to groove on this song. But anyway, when Giant Shock and Max Barracuda walk into a game shop as well, we see that a developer or a game studio came out with the game, and we know immediately what to expect. So this is going to be a new weekly segment in which I talk about a developer or a producer or what have you, so that you guys know what to expect. The same thing. Obviously, anyone who knows the song we're going for, we're going to do Blizzard Entertainment this week.
We've been dancing up a storm that whole time.
They were dancing around, man. It was rough. It's like I feel I owe them each $35 for a lap.
It was a huge trooper not
breaking. We tested your limits there.
That was rough. Anyway, Blizzard Entertainment. Blizzard Entertainment is is based out of Irvine, California, and they were founded as Silicone and Synapse in 1991. They were founded by Michael Morheim, who is the current president, Frank Pierce, who is the current vice president, which, on a side note, if you guys were friends and you founded one, how'd you guys decide who was the vice president and who was the pres? You know?
Well, the big dogs.
Right, that's what I'm saying. They were just like, listen, guy. And also Alan Adham, which was the former president. So he was a former big dog. They were, like I said, founded as Silicone and Synapse in 1991. For a brief period of time in 1994, they were Chaos Studios until they got a stop and desist because there was already Chaos Studios. So, and then they became Blizzard Studios also in 1994, and they remained Blizzard Studios. They have changed hands multiple times of who owns them, but I'm not going to go into that because that's very, very boring. Obviously, I kind of want to inform you guys of what to expect. So, the most famous games, can you guys name the most famous games?
Warcraft.
StarCraft.
World of Warcraft.
Diablo.
Diablo. The big trinity that's is really Warcraft, the big, not World Diablo. Of
Warcraft? Well, World Warcraft of Warcraft
falls
the biggest,
under though. World of Warcraft.
You want to get the three big franchises.
Right, just like tanks fall under World of Tanks. And StarCraft. World of Warcraft is pretty much why I picked Blizzard Entertainment this week, because if you haven't heard of World of Warcraft yet, then I would like
you're a goddamn merchant.
Right, I would like to thank you for choosing this podcast to be your first endeavor into the video gaming world ever.
Into normal, everyday
what
knowledge.
What about South Park? Even any media.
Right. Thanks for climbing out from under your rock, because World of Warcraft is obviously the most winning game. Or the game that's
it's
made
the Charlie Sheen.
But
of
am
all
I
games.
The only one who misses the old ones?
I'd much rather have the real time strategy game than
me
the,
too.
Warcraft 2 was my favorite game.
You're looking at
possibly
three,
of all time.
You're looking at three people in this room who have never had a World of Warcraft account. I've seen it played 1,000 times. I've sat in a room and watched somebody play it 1,000,000 times. But I never wanted to dedicate that much time.
I just once said I went to my friend's house in Connecticut, and I watched his roommate from Friday night till Sunday night when I left play World of Warcraft, drinking wine and smoking weed. And I was like, this game's pretty intense. This guy hasn't left his little like computer table.
All right. My big claim to MMORPG fame is the Final Fantasy MMORPGs.
Right.
And I got so into it at around 18 years old that when World of Warcraft came out, I was like, I'm not doing it again. I'm not living in another world for like 6 months.
Yeah, to me it was too exhausting an endeavor.
Right, but it is obviously a credit to gaming and incredible. And you know what? People say it takes up other people's lives, but sometimes you need an escape. So,
and you know what? There's a lot of really good stories that come out of people playing it, people meeting their significant others and what have you. I mean,
hey,
it seems like fun, and it gave us that Leroy Jenkins video.
Yeah, it did, which the world appreciates. StarCraft, another incredible...
that I actually prefer.
Real-time strategy.
I love StarCraft.
Even the real-time strategy one, I thought StarCraft was funner than Warcraft.
Yeah, StarCraft 2 is excellent.
Diablo.
Excellent. Diablo, I'm kind of looking forward to playing Diablo 3 on consoles, because I didn't play it on PC.
Hopefully they don't come out...
too many complaints about the PC version with all the issues with the marketplace and everything.
There was a lot of PvP in that, too, where you could just... player versus player, where you could run out of a town and just get bombed by higher levels.
Do a little dance and stab a dude?
No, that's again, South Park. But, Diablo was kind of broken for me because of that. I dabbled in Diablo a little bit, but I kept on running out of a town and getting murked. And, anyway, back to Blizzard. They have upcoming Blizzard All-Stars, which is an action real-time strategy, which, for people who don't know the names, real-time strategy is like your Command & Conquer or Warcraft or StarCraft or whatever anyone's feeling. Action real-time strategy is more the World of Warcraft thing, where you actually kind of control one particular person.
Aren't you just one person in the MMO?
That's an MMO, but I'm talking about an action real-time strategy is basically you don't really involve yourself in the base management too much.
Right.
But real-time strategy you do. You're all up in the base management.
That's all it is.
Blizzard Entertainment is excellent for that. So if you see the Blizzard Entertainment tag, I want you to know what to expect. Expect a rich, expansive world that's like super well developed.
Yeah.
Storyline. Every race of being is going to be
All the characters are fleshed out.
Fleshed out. Every single person.
The art direction's incredible.
Every even computer player is going to have a rich background.
And let's not forget that every game they've ever made has been pure fun.
And when I was in high school,
they're perfectionists.
Full disclosure, I had a Blizzard logo painted on my bedroom wall. That's how much I love these guys.
They're perfectionists is what they are. I mean, they're incredible at what they do. They don't come out with that many games.
Yeah, but their games do have staying power.
Super staying power. Yeah. How long has World of Warcraft been around?
You can play World of Warcraft 2. It still holds up today. Mm-hmm. And that game came out, 94?
Yeah, they're incredible. If you see it, I suggest buying it, the Blizzard tag. And they have a new project on a side note. It's called Titan.
Titan.
It was supposed to be a new MMO, and it was not based on the three main franchises, but it got pushed so far on the back burner that as of May, 70% of the team got moved to other projects while the core developers rebooted and decided what direction to take it in, which was very disappointing.
Hmm. Well, that's just because Blizzard probably cares about delivering the best product.
Oh, they super care. They're like the Pablo Picasso of. They're not going to come out with a shitty product.
Just reminded me, though, I really got to pick up Heart of the Swarm, the new mm-hmm. StarCraft II extra pack. They split the game into three parts. Wings of Liberty, Heart of the Swarm, and I think Reaper of Souls? No, Reaper of Souls is Diablo. It's Legacy of the Void.
Okay.
Which is the Protoss, like each race. And Wings of Liberty was fucking excellent. I cannot wait to play the next one.
Okay, well, that was Meet the Developer. Next week, we'll go over another developer or publisher, and I'm really into that section, man. I really want to...
I think it's important.
I think that's more like the nature of the podcast. You know
meet the
saying?
Artists. These people put in so much time and work into these games, they need to be recognized.
Okay, so now we're going to kind of dive into Old School Game of the Week.
Old School Game of the Week.
Old school like the old school.
Old School Game of the Week. Tony Hawk Pro Skater.
Yeah. I used to love these.
It's about time we talked about it.
We're going more modern. I like it.
That's not that modern. That's the 90s.
By comparison of the last couple games we've done. California Games. 86. We're talking 2000s at least.
No, this is 90-something.
Into the 2000s. Well into the 2000s.
This song we were playing that was in the first one was like almost a brand new track. And this is like from 95.
The first game, let's see.
August 31st, 1999, Tony Hawk Pro Skater hit PlayStation.
99.
February 29th, 2000, it hit N64. So shame on you, N64, for waiting on that.
Who ever played it on N64? I never played it on N64.
I played it on both, dude. It was everywhere.
Everyone played this game.
It was saying on the 64, the controls were so much better on PS.
I played it personally on 64 into GameCube. Well into GameCube, I played Tony Hawk.
Oh, I was a PlayStation dude with that, but it was by Neversoft, Tony Hawk Pro Skater. It was called Tony Hawk Skateboarding in Australia.
That really opened up a whole genre of extreme games.
Oh, dude, I can name them off right now. Kelly Slater surfing, Matt Hoffman BMX.
That one was impossible.
The BMX one was fun.
It was fun, but it was like the stuff they need you to do. Like Tony Hawk always gave you these like little side things to acquire, and they were all possible. The Matt Hoffman BMX shit was impossible to do.
There was a BMX XX. There was...
Yeah, BM XXX.
Yeah. Some sort of inline skating game.
Nobody cares.
Was there an inline skating
game? Yeah, there was.
Nobody gave a fuck.
I owned it.
Jet Set Radio?
It was a great game. I mean, it obviously revolved around legendary skateboarder Tony Hawk.
Who was your favorite character using that?
Bob Burnquist.
Bucky Lasik. He had the fucking Christ Air. It was worth many points.
No, I did Bucky LASIK too for the Chrysler.
I mean,
custom skater had the Chrysler.
My custom skater had the Chrysler as well.
I was better at the vert stuff than I was at the grind, and that was the highest point trick you could do on the vert.
I got really good at the grinds and the manuals. I got pretty good at manuals after a while.
They've had literally over 14 sequels. Lately, they have not. I mean, I think Tony Hawk, if I remember from last night, because I was basically looking at it, they got a 9.1, 9.5 maybe even from Ingen.com when it first came out.
The first game?
The first one? Yeah. The first game was revolutionary.
It was a 92 on Metacritic.
Okay.
That's insane.
Yeah, it was in the high 90s. The later ones, like the latest ones, they're not even breaking fours. Nobody cares about them.
Because that's not a game, like I said before in my other thing, that you needed to make every year. And they were making them every year.
And this is my personal preference, too, because the latest ones are pretty crappy.
Well, here's the Metacritic score real quick. Mm-hmm. Tony Hawk, Pro Skater 1, like I said, 92. And as they go down the list, Pro Skater 2 got up to a 98. Like, that's impressive. Pro Skater 3, 97, and so on.
Pro Skater 2 added the whole make-your-own character thing to it.
All the way down to the most recent Tony Hawk Shred, which scored an impressive 53.
Because the genre is done.
Before that, Tony Hawk Ride, 44.
The genre got killed. Like, those types of
games... They've been on a, excuse the pun, downhill jam for a while.
In fact, Tony Hawk's downhill jam only scored a 59.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Superman scored 59 was awesome. Not so much for Tony.
It's different with games.
Yes.
Do you want to hear the game titles or no?
Don't go 1 through 4. Just...
No, you had Tony Hawk Pro Skaters 1 through 4. Tony Hawk's Underground 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. American Wasteland. Right. Downhill Jam. Project 8. Tony Hawk's Proving Ground. Tony Hawk's Motion. Ride. Shred. And the most recent is Pro Skater HD Remix. Which, weirdly enough, only 66%.
Well, I'm talking about Tony Hawk in its heyday. When it first came out, it was so awesome.
Everyone loved this.
We all loved it. I know for a fact everyone in this room played each other multiple times in it. What was your favorite secret character? This game had a plethora of secret characters.
Oh, it depends on the game.
Well, I mean, just in general, my favorite secret character is Spider-Man because I loved his little trick where he threw his skateboard out, thwipped it back, and then like it was a vert trick too. So you could spin and get more points while you did it. And that plus I love Spider-Man. Come on, who doesn't love Spider-Man?
Yeah, I liked Wolverine. He was in Skater 3.
Yeah, but his tricks weren't nearly as cool.
It was just cool that he was in there, man. I also enjoyed in number 4, Jango Fett, who had jetpack moves.
Okay. I don't think I played for.
I don't really remember Jango Fett.
I know who Jango Fett is.
Darth Maul, I like being Darth Maul. Darth. Just
would you like to hear some of the hidden characters just to refresh your memory?
Sure.
Yeah, sure.
We got, of course, Spider-Man, Darth Maul, Wolverine, the guy from Doom, Kelly Slater, pro surfer, Jango Fett, Eddie from Iron Maiden albums, Iron Man, Gene Simmons, Steve-O, we had Phil Margera, Bigfoot, Shrek, the Call of Duty soldier, Ben Franklin, Lil Jon, Billy Joe from Green Day. We got Jason Lee and Travis Barker.
Jason Lee's a cheat because he was actually a pro skateboarder anyway.
He was an actor. I thought that was a cool pull.
The more you know.
We got MCA from the Beastie Boys. We got Kat Von D from Miami Inc. James Hetfield and Rob Jahilo from Metallica.
Ugh.
Isn't it the backup? Is it the new bassist they have?
That's the most recent bassist.
What? Lars?
Lars Ulrich is pissed.
Did anyone have a specific favorite board, at least from the first one that they liked?
The school. I like the school.
The school, if you were a grinder, that was the best board.
Yeah, which one was Area 51?
I don't remember what game
that was. That was 1 or 2. That one had some cool little bonus stuff.
2.
And I think it was 2 or 3 that also had the cruise ship, which was a lot of fun.
My favorite vert board was, I liked the, I guess it'd be like a town with a street. That was all around it. Like, there was cars going by.
Yeah.
And there was a million little verts. Yeah. And my favorite grind board was the mall in the first one.
Oh, the mall was good.
It was a downhill. And the grind just made more sense to me because it was like, you had to like kind of jump.
Jump from rail to rail.
Yeah. Right. So those are my two favorite vert and / grind board. Plus, in that street level, you can get onto a pirate ship, and the pirate ship was just one big vert. So when you had 3 minutes to do stuff, I used to be Bucky Lakes. Like I said, he was really good at the vert stuff. I'd get to that little pirate ship and just vert it up.
Yeah, pop onto that thing.
Yeah.
It's Christ there all the way.
Christ there.
You, I remember by the end of those games, we'd go head to head. You were unbeatable at these.
Well, once you, I mean, the one with Bam Margera with the Underground, you could like get off your board and like just walk around.
Right? Yeah, you got like 3 seconds to run.
It was more than that. It was like 20.
No,
but it was clear. It was
you could actually
trick.
Climb up something.
No. It was
no,
like,
yeah, you could climb like a telephone pole.
It wasn't 20 times each
and
time
grind
you got off
the
your,
wires.
It wasn't 20 times each time you got off your board, but it was like 20 seconds in
collective.
All. Yeah, for your so, one trick. So your trick right. could last like an hour.
Right.
Yeah, and once you mastered manuals, like where you could just kind of stop and hop on your board like mm-hmm. all over the place, you were just there all day.
Plus, I was always a stickler for getting the spelling skate out. Like,
yeah.
I always loved the ST.
What about the hidden tapes?
The hidden tapes were cool. Just all the little things about the game, at least the first couple were... were just so fun to me. Like it was just such a different game at the time, and it really introduced me to the world of skateboarding. Because before that, I knew who Tony Hawk was because I watched Gleaming the Cube, and like I just
the
knew
X
who he
Games.
Was. Nah, I just watched Gleaming the Cube. He was in the Gleaming the Cube.
Okay,
it's a Christian Slater movie from the 80s. Come on now. But yeah, like I it introduced me to that whole world of skating, and I wasn't a privy to that before.
I mean, it was a revolutionary game.
It's a shame to see where it's ended up.
I know, man.
They just ran out of ideas. Like, how many times can you really make a game about skateboarding and make it fresh?
I actually saw a thread on the internet saying video game characters they wish would just die. And they were really wishing that Tony Hawk, not in real life or anything, but he would just die at the end of one of his games.
Yeah. I mean, the last game I played had to be American Wasteland. And that was it.
American Wasteland 2, I think I made it up to.
I skipped a lot of bullshit after
the
that.
The last one I played was with Bam Margera, where he faced off against Tony Hawk.
That was Underground.
That would be
two.
Underground Part 2.
Underground 2. Wasteland was kind of where you started off in Bumble F.
What do I say? For my,
you end up in like L.A. or something.
Right.
For my previous gripe, though, they definitely got stale after a while, and then the Underground ones added a bunch of new stuff to it.
I will actually argue that point and say what they tried to do was get one of your words... innovative with it, with say the motion.
Innovative is a real word, Pete. You don't have to.
Yeah, but it's always a good thing in your eyes.
No,
it's
no,
not a good
I'm
thing.
I'm talking
here.
About before they got to the motion stuff. I'm talking
the
about
motion stuff killed it with like Downhill Jam, where you're just
flipping
stuff, your Wiimote around.
No, but I'm talking about before the motion stuff. I'm talking about like when once it was like 3 and 4 were lame, and then was Underground was all right because they added a lot of like a story element to it. Like it was like a full movie you were watching.
They added it was like Grind
the movie.
Yeah,
pretty much.
And then after that, I didn't play them anymore, so I can't really talk about like Downhill Jam or any motion stuff. But I got to figure it'd be kind of cool with at least with the Wii board, like the one you get with the Fit. It might be kind of cool messing around with the board and trying to skate.
What games like what was the one that had that skate? Skate that had
yeah, skate
that was terrible. This is an awful experience.
I heard Skate was like so hard because it was trying to make it way realistic.
No, because the actual the peripheral, the board, didn't work.
Right.
It was awful.
It was the controller. It's just like
actually had a board you stood on?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
It's just like when you go into the arcade and you play Top Skater and you find out that it's just moving to the left.
Because I remember my former roommate, Judge Mills, used to play that all the time, and he swore by it.
He loved it.
Yeah, he thought it was really good.
That thing goes like a nightmare to play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't play it on the Wii. He played it on the Xbox.
Yeah, he played on the Xbox, but it was like very realistic just how everything moved.
It was pretty good.
It wasn't arcade like Tony Hawk. Tony Hawk was like you could just string a million moves together. It wasn't.
I liked the fact that in the pro skater games, there was no gravity to worry about. That you could get, you know.
Well, that was a code.
Some of my favorite things from
Tony Hawk. No, like in the game, if you got enough air on a half pipe, you'd be 50 feet in the air with plenty of time to pull off as many tricks as you want. That was fun.
Some of my favorite stuff
That's why I play video games. Exaggerated reality.
Some of my favorite stuff from the original Tony Hawk's was when you grinded on certain things and like lights would go off, you'd set off cars or you'd set off like the boat cannons on boats. Like
I liked the horse mode the best, where somebody would have to follow your trick and do it a little better,
get more
points.
Oh, that was fun.
That was
I'm more of a combative player
where the rail would be a certain color and you'd have to hit it.
Well, I did like that mode. As far as the versus mode, just plain old score mode. Like, you do your 3 minutes set or 2 minutes set, whatever it was, and I'll do my
set. I mean, I remember playing you in that. So.
Those games, I mean, were classics. You can never replicate the fun they had at the time. But I think it's definitely a game that's had its day. You can't recreate
it. I can tell you this. My sister, who's 20, still plays Tony Hawk 3 on the GameCube.
Well, Tony Hawk 1 had a recent HD, which I bought.
Yeah, HD Revival.
Which is great. It's a lot of fun now, especially with the HD graphics. And I had a really good time going through it again.
Yeah, Tony Hawk, man, and that game series will always be great to me.
Yeah, good for you, Tony Hawk.
Yeah, I love them. Talk about your sports games that actually last and changed it up.
All right, so that about wraps it up for this week. We had fun at Gamescom, even though we weren't there, but I had fun.
Invite us.
It. Yeah, if you guys want to pay for my ticket to Germany.
You're listening, you krauts. Yeah. Let us in.
And you hate Call of Duty.
Again, we're going to be pimping this strong. We're going to be at Comic-Con.
Yes, booth 1147?
46.
Does anyone know where it's located yet?
On the main floor by the small press area.
Small press.
Right, that's where I wanted to be.
When you go up the main steps,
perfect.
We're right there. Come check us out.
All right.
Buy some comic books.
Yep.
I worked hard on them. Don't be the angry comic book reader.
Come talk to us, especially on Saturday, about A-Squad and all of our podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
And win a chance to be on here.
Nice. Yeah, win a chance to be on the A-Squad.
Yeah, sure.
You don't have to win it. If you ask us, you can be on
the A-Squad. Just ask nicely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it doesn't even have to be nicely.
You persist.
Now, we're going to have a microphone. Right. We're going to be doing a little chatting with some people. So.
Yeah, we're definitely going to be throwing out some interviews. Whether it's just going to be people in great costumes or actual... I would love to interview fans of the show. That would be incredible.
I just want to talk to people who have good game costumes.
Mm-hmm.
You always see a bunch. Remember that dude last year in that crazy Gears of War outfit?
Oh, what's his face?
Dale? Our buddy Dale?
Yeah, Pyramid Head, too. I had a good one.
Pyramid Head was pretty sweet.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully everyone else is looking forward to it. So that's this week. Just everyone remember, we love games, you love games, you love us, so we love you.